Good morning. All right. So if you look at that picture, by the way, someone's like, what is that picture? That's a bunch of guys from our church around a campfire on a Thursday night at Eric's place. Healthy relationships is what we're talking about. We've been talking about this a while. We've covered things like the high road, taking the high road in a relationship and dealing with people with grace and patience and acceptance and dealing with changes in relationship and the importance of good communication. We've talked about reliability, and you need to be reliable if you're going to have healthy relationships, and talked about dealing with differences and just maintaining good relationships because they don't happen automatically. And the last time I spoke to you about this, we talked about pouring out joy. And then when the guest speakers came, when I was overseas and the guest speakers came, Brad Sickler, he spoke about relationships, the test of love. And Bernie Neffley spoke about being created for relationship. And it was Josh who picked up the mantle and said, offense and not taking offense in relationships. And then finally, Brandon spoke about the purpose of relationships. We've really covered a screen with relationship information, but there's so much more that we could be talking about as we cover this topic. We're talking about this because we were made for relationships. And somewhere along the way, most of us learned that the most rewarding part of living is found in relationships. And somewhere along the way, most of us learned that the most difficult part of living is found in relationships. Today, what I want to talk to you about is that word that's in the lower right-hand corner of the screen, gratitude. Because I've come to believe that it plays an important role in the relationships we have and the health of them. So I'd really encourage you, if you have your Bible, to open it to an excellent passage about relationships. It's in the book of Philippians. It's in chapter 1. If you zoom in on that QR code, your phone will take you there. The YouVersion Bible app, just look for Kerwinsville Alliance if you need to. Or get there the old-fashioned way and go to Philippians chapter 1 with this YouVersion Bible app. You know, if you think about it, gratitude is a really important thing in our life. I mean, how many times, if you're a parent, have you said to your child, hey, Billy, tell grandma thank you. Tell her thank you. You know, because that's just part of what we want our child to say, because we know it's important that he learns gratitude. I kind of want to make it clear to you that gratitude is something that we learn by trusting in the grace of God and having gratitude toward him. That gratitude is almost magnified for those who have found grace in Jesus. Because the grace that we have found and the life of gratitude we live after that kind of works in our hearts to point out other good things for which we should be thankful. And I don't think it's an accident that quite frequently Christians are very thankful for veterans. I mean, other people are thankful for the veterans. But you hear Christians over and over again saying, I'm so thankful for the men and women who served, because we begin our gratitude with Christ who gave his life for to pay the ultimate debt, our debt to God above. And that makes us thankful toward one another. And when you're thankful toward one another, that gratitude, it makes relationships stronger. Now, I ask you to open your Bibles to Philippians chapter 1. We're going to read verses 3 through 11. Follow along silently as I read these verses. I thank God every time I remember you in all my prayers for you. I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. Being confident of this, that he who began a good work in you will carry it on to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. It is right for me to feel this way about all of you, since I have you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. God can testify how I long for all of you with the affection of Christ Jesus. And this is my prayer, that your love may abound more and more in knowledge and depth of insight so that you may be able to discern what is best and may be pure and blameless on the day of Christ, for the day of Christ, filled with the fruit of righteousness that comes through Jesus Christ, to whom be the glory and praise of God. I really love verse 3. Look at verse 3 again. I thank my God every time I remember you. I love that verse. But really, this whole section of text is a masterpiece of gratitude. It is beautiful. These are beautiful words. And as beautiful as these words of gratitude are, ingratitude is that ugly. Ingratitude is not really, you don't look good in that dress. You don't look good with that tie. Ingratitude. It shows up in a number of ways and a number of attitudes. One of them might be the never enough attitude. Yesterday, my wife said, hey, Jeff gave us some apples. What do you think about Apple, what are those apple things that they wrap them up in the dough? One person say it. You say it. Dumpling, thank you. Apple dumpling. Yeah. What do I think of an apple dumpling? Homemade by you? Yeah, I think that's a great idea. So she made the apple dumpling, and while it was in the oven, she said, you know what, I just realized we're out of vanilla ice cream and we're out of milk. Would you go get it? I said, absolutely. So I went down to IGA, and I got those products, and I came home. And probably at 8:30 or so, we paused the television. She went upstairs. She comes down with two bowls in her hand. She said, on her way up, she said, milk or ice cream? I said, ice cream, please? Yeah. She comes down with two bowls in her hands, and she gave one to me, one with ice cream. And my mouth is watering while I tell you this story. And I'm there, and I'm eating it. It's just so good. I'm eating it. And I ran out of ice cream before I ran out of apple dumplings. Does that ever happen to you? Right? But and so when I was all done, I looked at her and I said, that was delicious. Thank you. And then, because I'm not 30 years old anymore and stupid, then I didn't say this. I just wish it had had more ice cream. You understand? That would have been the wrong thing to say. Because that's the never enough attitude. And I can tell you, because I was that immature 30-year-old, for about 40 years I was that guy, right? Yeah, I can tell you that that damages relationships. Because the never enough attitude is ugly. It is not even remotely an expression of gratitude. Ugliness. Never enough attitude. Or that ugliness can show up in the I'm entitled attitude. I mean, everyone forgets to say thank you, right? Every now and then, you just forget that. But there are those moments, and perhaps there are those people that you're aware of, that although you sacrifice and you give to them and you work for them and you provide for them, you don't even get a nod of appreciation. Do you have people like that in your life? Have you known people like that? It happens again and again and again. Why are people that way? What do they expect that to do to the relationship? Well, sometimes they're that way because they feel entitled. Well, yeah, you're supposed to do that. Even if they are entitled, they're killing the relationship. It's ugly. That I'm entitled attitude damages relationship. And tied to that, almost the same thing as I'm special attitude. I am special. I don't know if you know that or not, but my mom told me I was. And then Larry the Cucumber come along and told me the same thing. So, you know. And if I'm special, then why should I be grateful about everything? I mean, who needs more good stuff than me? And you know that I'm special relationship, or that unspecial mentality, that attitude is going to damage the relationship. Now, I'm just telling you, I am guilty of all of these. I have been guilty of all of these. How about you? How about you? When I say that phrase, and I say it a lot in sermons, I'm guilty of all of these things. It's not to let you off the hook. Hey, well, if Pastor Steve's guilty of that, then I'm okay. Don't use me as a benchmark ever. Okay? Ever, right? When I say to you, I'm guilty of this, then I ask the question, how about you? It is to give you an opportunity. It's to give you an opportunity to evaluate yourself and say, am I a man? Am I a woman of gratitude? And if I'm not, if I haven't been, it's to give you an opportunity to confess that to God. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins. God, you know, I'm thinking about it. I got the never enough, I'm entitled, and I'm special all rolled into one. It's like the trifecta in my life. That's my sin. Please forgive me for that. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. On top of that, I tell you that so that you can begin to change. If you say, yeah, Pastor Steve, I'm that way too. How can I change? Should I change? Yeah, we should change. Because gratitude is incredibly powerful. This passage tells us that gratitude is powerful. We'll look through that in just a few minutes. But I want to tell you about how the gratitude of someone I barely know, it just hit me so hard, it brought tears to my eyes. So some time ago, I received a thank you card for doing a funeral. I had met the deceased just a few weeks before he passed away, and I did what every good pastor does. You know, I made sure that he had made his peace with God. And he had. He was trusting in Christ as his Savior. I prayed with him. I visited with him. I talked with his family. I read the Bible with him. And when he passed away, I did his funeral. It's the kind of thing I've done literally, I don't know, a couple hundred times probably. More than that. How many times have you done that, Bill? A lot, right? Pastor Bill is here. He's my highly esteemed conflict. Everyone say, hi, Pastor Bill.
Hi, Pastor Bill.
Sorry, I neglected to acknowledge you earlier, my friend. Okay. Yeah, I'd literally done that 100 times before. His daughter sent me a thank you card afterward. And I wish I'd kept it because I don't know why did I let that get thrown away? I don't remember exactly what it said, but it went something like this. Pastor Steve, I want to thank you for the care during the last days that you gave to my father. I want to thank you for the encouraging words you spoke to us at his funeral. You showed us the love of God and helped us to believe. Wow. Wow. That's not exactly what it says, but that's pretty close. And when I read that, tears came to my eyes. Because that is the reason I live and breathe. It is the only reason I have to be on this planet that is really, really worth it. To have the opportunity to tell people that God so loves them, that he gave his one and only son, that if they turn to him and trust in him and believe in him, they would not perish, but have eternal life. I live to help people who don't know the love of God get an inkling of the love of God. And that gratitude statement hit me so hard. It was like, thank you, God. Wow. So beautiful. And I turned around and I read it to Laurel. And she said, wow. I said, that just feels so good. Gratitude is intensely powerful. Intensely. It is powerful because a heart of gratitude proclaims to others their value. The very first personal remarks that the Apostle Paul makes when he's writing this letter to the people in Philippi are, I thank my God every time I remember you. He's telling them they're special. They're meaningful in his life. They bring him joy. And his words of gratitude remind them that they have value. How could that do anything except strengthen their relationship? Gratitude is powerful. It's powerful because a heart of gratitude tells others that they are making a difference. In all my prayers for you, he says, I always pray with joy because of your partnership in the gospel from the first day until now. They know Paul's making a difference, but Paul just said they're partners with him in making a difference. That word partnership is important. I feel like Laurel is my partner in every area of life. She is my partner in ministry. It is a high priority for both of us. It's a place where we feel that we make a difference. And it connects us. It's almost romantic. I don't know if you can understand that or not. But it is. Laurel is not the kind of person who throws around compliments carelessly. She never flatters me. She frequently tells me the truth. So when I come in the door Sunday after preaching and I'm loosening my tie and kind of getting ready for the afternoon, and she says these five words, that was a good sermon, it means a lot. Because I know she is expressing gratitude for the work I did and for the way I followed God's leading. She is saying to me, as my partner, you made a difference this morning. And hearing that come from her lips, it strengthens our relationship. It is romantic. It's beautiful. Gratitude is powerful. Gratitude is powerful because it helps others believe that God is at work in them. It is hard for some people to believe that God is really changing them. It's hard for all of us sometimes because just like my grandchildren don't see how much they've grown since the last time I saw them, you don't see how much you've grown in the past several months either. And sometimes you can feel like you're not growing at all. And you need someone to kind of give you a shot of hope sometime and say, you are growing. I see how God is changing you. And I see the difference that makes in your life. And so Paul expresses that to them in verse 6 by saying that he's confident that the one, that would be Jesus, who began this good transition, this good work in them, is going to carry it to completion until the day of Christ Jesus. And when you proclaim gratitude that way about someone, it gives them hope that God really is changing them and he really is helping them and they really are growing and they really are making a difference. I feel like being the district superintendent or even one of the regional directors might be one of the most thankless jobs you can have. Because if you're the district superintendent, probably 9 out of 10 times that your phone rings, it's because something is on fire somewhere. You know? Nobody calls them just to say, hey, I want to let you know I had 57 in the early service today. You know, nobody says that. And that's a good number for our early service, by the way. No one calls and said, hey, Pastor Appreciation, they did a good thing for me today. It was so cool, Drew prayed. Nobody calls to say those good things. People call because it's on fire. And so I got to thinking about that not long ago, maybe 2 or 3 years ago, and I thought, I'm going to be that guy. And it's kind of awkward because it's like, hey, I want to tell you we had 220 in church on Easter Sunday. That seems a little like I'm boasting, and I'm not. I'm not. I hate boasting. What I'm doing is I'm just saying, I know you get a lot of calls that you're not doing a good job and that the church isn't doing a good job and that we're failing. I want to tell you, you're doing a great job. You're a good leader. You're helping me. God is at work in you. He's at work in me, and he's at work in our church. Thank you. Thank you. I express that gratitude. And it changes our relationship. They call me sometimes. I got a call, and it's always a worry, like, uh-oh, what'd I do wrong, you know? Somebody told him that I said I like the Beatles, and we're in trouble now. Almost didn't come here because I said that, by the way. Yeah. Times change, don't they? God doesn't. They'll call me sometimes, and I'll say, so what's up? Oh, I just needed somebody to talk to. What's on your mind? Nothing. I just wanted somebody to talk to. And that's the kind of relationship I have with my district superintendent now. Why? Because I express gratitude to him. It helps others believe that God's at work in them, and it enhances relationships. Gratitude is powerful. It creates an emotional and a spiritual connection. It is right for me to feel this way, for I have all of you in my heart. Whether I'm in chains or defending and confirming the gospel, all of you share in God's grace with me. I have you in my heart. Wow. Let me just try this out. Alan Farley, I have you in my heart. That's weird, isn't it? That is weird, right? Right? But we know how the Apostle Paul means it, right? We know how he's thinking about it. He means, I am emotionally and spiritually connected to you. You're my partner. And I love that. Paul's thankfulness, his gratitude, connects with them and deepens the relationship. And a heart of gratitude is powerful because a heart of gratitude helps people feel wanted. God can testify how I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. Anybody reading that in the King James this morning? Let me see your hand. Okay, yeah. Okay, just one. Does it say, I long for you with the bowels of Christ Jesus? Now you know why we use the NIV, okay? Nothing wrong with that. If you have 1611 and you read that, you would know he means, I long for you with my heart. That's what that means. I long for you with the affection of Christ Jesus. You know, when we go overseas to see our daughter and her husband and our grandchildren, when we get picked up at the airport, my son-in-law comes, and he always greets us with a hug. Does he hug you in public? Because he didn't used to be able to hug women in public. It's changed. He always greets us with a hug. And he always says in my ear, thank you, Dad, for coming. And then when he doesn't talk emotional like this. I do. I got the K-Rolls thing going this morning. Leave me alone. Okay? He says, thank you, Dad, for coming. And then while we're there, every couple days, one of them says, we are so thankful that you're here. We are so thankful that you're here. Thank you for being here. And when he takes us to the airport and drops us off, you think about it. Your mother-in-law, your father-in-law, you're dropping them at the airport after a month of living in the same apartment with them. You're going to be like, out, out. Maybe even you'll make the sign of the cross as they're leaving. That's not a reflection on them. It's just people, right? He hugs us and he says, I am so thankful that you were here. It was great having you here. You know what that does to a father-in-law and a mother-in-law? You know what that does to a mom and a dad? It makes us feel wanted. And that strengthens the relationship like crazy. Gratitude is powerful. It is powerful. And everyone knows it is powerful. In a couple minutes, I'm going to give you a couple passages of scripture to kind of prime the pump or wet your whistle as we celebrate the Lord's Supper together concerning gratitude. But before I do that, I just want to remind you that everybody knows gratitude is important. Not everyone knows where it stems from. Our society, mental health professionals, authors, media, experts, they talk about the need for gratitude. UC Berkeley, for example, says gratitude changes your brain in a good way. If you can be a person of gratitude, it changes your brain in a good way. Harvard Health says giving thanks can make you healthier. Giving thanks can make you healthier. NPR says if you feel thankful, write it down. It's good for your health. Indeed, we all know the value of gratitude, that it's important. But what eludes many is the issue of where do I find gratitude? Because in life, there's a lot of things that you're not necessarily automatically thankful for. But if you are a Christ follower, I will say to you that gratitude in your life starts at this table. Gratitude in our life as believers begins at the cross of Christ and flows from him. And as it flows from him, it overflows into various aspects of our life. And so that's where I want to take you in these last three passages I'm just going to present to you, to allow your heart, your mind, your spirit to quiet itself before God and to breathe out all the bitterness and sourness of this week and to breathe in all the things you have to be grateful for in Christ Jesus. The first of those passages is from the Gospel of John. It's early on when John is introducing his reader to the idea that Jesus has come. Two chapters later, he's going to say, God did not send his son into the world to condemn the world, but that all the world might be saved through him. But look at these verses in chapter 1. It says, Jesus came to that which was his own, but his own did not receive him. Yet, to all who did receive him, to those who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. Children not born of natural descent, nor a human decision, nor a husband's will, but born of God. That is something to be grateful for. That Jesus came to invite you to be his own. And that when you trust him, you become his child. You are his daughter, his beloved, precious daughter. You are his son, his beloved, precious son, because of the cross of Christ. The response? Profound gratitude. Who am I that he should make this invitation to me? And that gratitude overflows into all of life, making us people of gratitude. Let me give you a second passage. This is the Apostle Paul. He's writing to some Christians in a place called Ephesus. He's explaining to them the way of salvation, affirming what I'm sure he preached many times when he'd been with them in person. And in chapter 2, verse 8, he says, "For it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourself, it is a gift of God, not by works, so that no one can boast." You know, I memorized those two verses when I was a little boy. And then when I went to college, I took a course on evangelism and memorized them there. And I really realized that those two verses are a good tool. Because a lot of people have this idea that the way they're saved is by being really, really, really good. And if I'm good enough, maybe I'll get to heaven. And that's not the way you're saved. You're saved by Jesus' goodness, dying on the cross for you, and trusting in that to pay your way to heaven. And so I kind of had this in my tool pouch, this verse in my tool pouch, that it's not by works that you're saved, it's by grace that you're saved. And that's not from yourself, it's a gift of God. It's a gift of God for crying out loud. It's not by works so that you can't boast. Don't read it that way this morning. Hear it this way. You know that you were saved from God's wrath by God's grace. And it just comes by trusting. That's all he's looking for you to do. Say, I trust you. It's not from you. You don't have to worry that you have to do something. It's a gift from God. It's not by works. Otherwise, you'd probably boast. Do you hear the love of God in that passage? Do you sense the open-handed acceptance he has toward you? What's the response? Profound gratitude. Who am I that he would give me that? And that gratitude overflows into all of life, making us people of gratitude. Let's look at one more. Titus chapter 3, verse 5. Paul says, he saved us not because of righteous things we had done, but because of his mercy. He saved us through the washing of rebirth and renewal by the Holy Spirit. Christians aren't saved because of something they did to get Jesus to like them. And they're not saved because of some religious act that they decided to have done or someone else decided to have done for them. They are saved by God's mercy. Not by works of righteousness, but by his mercy he saved us. And he makes us new people when he saves us. He gives us his Spirit to live in us. The response? Profound gratitude. Who am I that God would give me that? And this gratitude overflows into all of life, making us people of gratitude. As men and women who have received the grace of God in Christ, showing gratitude for all good things is part of our redeemed nature. And it enhances, strengthens, even builds our relationships. So, in September, I was delivering the audio devices to our shut-ins. I was in my Hyundai, and I'm up near where Perry Connor lives. I go across the railroad tracks, and I'm probably just 50 feet or so, maybe 150 feet, I guess, from my stop to see Doris to drop this device off. And my Hyundai does this. It goes, beep, 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 beep. I look down at the dashboard, and it says, your right front tire has 28 pounds in it, 28 PSI. I'm like, ah, okay. And then it stops. And it goes, beep, beep, beep. I look, says, now it's got 24. I haven't driven from here to Drew in the back of the sanctuary. All right, I know what happened. I have a big hole in my tire, not a slow leak, so I floor it, right? Because I got to get to Clearfield Tire. That's the closest place. And I'm going as fast as I can. It's like 12, 10, 0. So I pull in a Clearfield Tire with a flat tire. And I go in, I say, yeah, I got a flat. And they go out and they say, yeah, you're going to need a new tire. It's sliced. I said, yeah, I kind of had that feeling. And I said, how much is a new tire? Who's bought new tires in the past year? Let me see. Yeah, you have my pity, right? They've gone up like mad. And you know, I remember I used to drive a Tahoe. I don't know how I ever would put tires on that thing today. Thank God I have a Hyundai now. So I said, yeah, I guess I'll take one. They said, Hyundai doesn't want you to take them one at a time. It wants to take two at a time. And I looked at that dealer and said, you lying to me? In my mind, I said that. I said, oh, let me think about that. So I called my Hyundai dealer. I said, is that true? They said, yeah, don't just replace one of those because you're going to need two. In fact, you need four because they don't want the tread wear to be uneven on an all-wheel drive vehicle. Okay? Well, I'm not getting four. So I got the two tires, and I paid 3 years' salary on them. And I came home, and I was mad. I wasn't mad like storm around. I'm so mad, but I'm like, man, that just, oh, that gets me. And I don't know if she said it or if it was just her look, but that gracious woman I'm married to, if she's told me this once, she's told me it 100 times. She said, you know, I'm not happy about replacing those tires either, but I am so thankful that we had the money to do it. Gratitude. Where does she get that? It overflows from this. It comes from the cross of Christ. As you have gratitude for all that Christ has done in your life, that gratitude, if you allow it to and are intentional about it, it can flow out. And instead of being a grouchy old man with a white beard, boy, I was going to say you can have a red suit and say ho, 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 but I won't go there. You can be a pleasant person with strong relationships because you are a man, you are a woman of gratitude. I want to pray that that would be the case for you. Would you stand with me as we pray? Lord Jesus, we are thankful for you and your death on a cross on our behalf. We have great gratitude, profound gratitude for that. May that overflow and always say and do. In Christ's name, amen. Please be seated. We're going to celebrate communion together. And if you're visiting with us, if you're trusting in Christ as your Savior, I welcome you to participate. As the elements are being distributed, you can take the bread, you can take the cup, as you feel that that would be appropriate for you personally. If for any reason you would rather not participate, that's not awkward. Don't worry about that. Just pass some elements to the people next to you, and we'll be fine that way. The scripture tells us that the Lord Jesus, on the night he was betrayed, took bread. And when he'd given thanks, he broke it and said, "This is my body. This is my blood." The Apostle Paul, when he's talking to a group of Christians about their behavior at communion, he says this phrase, "One should examine oneself." And so take this moment, as we're distributing the bread and the cup, to just look into your own heart regarding your own gratitude quotient, so to speak, if you'd like, but regarding all of your life, and say, "God, what are things in my life that you would like to change? I give them to you and ask you to do that." Just take this moment, these moments, to do that. I'm going to ask the communion stewards if they'll come, please. So, gentlemen, would you please come? Are we missing one? I'm trying to think. Oh, Mr. McCracken and Rusty, you're in the back there. Could you help us out, please? Got multiple McCrackens. Matt has his arms full with his family there. So I appreciate your helping us, Rusty. I'm going to ask the elders if they would distribute the bread. I'm going to ask you to hold your portion until all have been served, and then we'll take it together. Do you have the bread there? Okay. That which you hold in your hand represents the body of Christ, which was given for you. You know, I can remember talking to a good friend of mine who since has come close to Jesus. He was a pastor's kid, so grew up in church, and I was just talking about the death of Christ for our sins on the cross and how that is the core of our salvation. And his reply, as a young man, 30, 28 years old, he said, "Yeah, I guess it's good to think about those things and be reminded of them from time to time." And I, at the time, I thought, how can you think the gospel is like a peripheral thing? But it sure can come that way sometimes when we get tied up in so much other things in our lives. This is the center of your Christian faith. This represents the means of your salvation, the death of Christ on the cross for your sins. It is nothing to be reminded of occasionally or to be cavalier about or even casual about. You hold in your hand that which represents the flesh of the God who made heaven and earth. I'm going to ask Steve if he would pray a prayer of thanks for the body of Christ and we'll take it together.
Thank you, Father, for giving us Jesus to die for us, to take away our sin, something we could never do ourselves. In the name of the Lord Jesus, we pray.
Amen. Amen. The body of Christ. The scripture tells us that afterward Jesus took the cup. And again, I would ask you to hold your portion until all have been served, and we'll take it together. Again, that which we have is the blood of Christ poured out for us. What kind of response does that evoke? Profound gratitude. Dean, would you please thank God for the blood of Christ?
Dear Heavenly Father, we are just so thankful, Lord, and so grateful for all that you've done for us. We thank you, Lord, for coming down and shedding your blood, Lord, that we may have eternal life. We just thank you for your goodness to us. Amen.
The blood of Christ.